Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. The love of many is growing cold, and the love of many more has already grown cold. How could that happen? How could people who were so on fire for the truth of Yahweh turn their back on what they were given to see and understand? True love does not turn on and off like flipping a switch. True love endures and lasts. We have to hold on to that love we began to feel for Yahweh and His Word as He started to reveal the truth to us. Remember how exciting it was when He began to open your eyes and you began to see things in an entirely new way. And understanding was given to you. And you hungered and you thirsted for that truth. You couldn't get enough of it. Our love should grow and become deeper. And our relationship with Him should become more meaningful every single day. If not, then we are at fault. We all have situations and times in our lives when we feel like Yah is not very close to us and like He's moving away. And we feel kind of abandoned, but it is not Him that's moving away, it is us. We are the ones that are allowing the relationship to lapse, and we're not putting in the time that we should. That's why we're not feeling close to Him. There is so much to learn and glean from the Exodus, because it is the story of His people. It is our story. It is the picture of salvation from start to finish. And if we study it, we learn how our Abba is bringing about salvation for His people and all who would join themselves to them. So we have this situation that happened when Israel went out into the wilderness and Moshe went up on the mountain. And what did they do? They made a golden calf, set up a worship system, and made sacrifices to the golden calf. But what really happened there? You know, why would they do that? Why would they even consider that? What drove them to do that? You know, we find it hard to believe that after all that Yah had done for the children of Israel, that they would even consider setting up an idol. Yet, they did. Let's go to Exodus 32 and verse 1. Exodus 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moshe was so long in coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aharon and said to him, "Arise, Make us mighty ones who go before us. For this Moshe, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aharon said to them, take off the golden earrings which were in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people took off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aharon. And he took this from their hand, and he formed it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said, this is your mighty one, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Aharon saw and built an altar before it. And Aharon called out and said, tomorrow is a festival to Yahweh. And they rose early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There is a bigger picture here that we need to see. Yahweh called a people out from the place where they were enslaved and set them free. He broke the yoke of bondage that was on them by his power and his might. And they clearly saw that. You know, there was no doubt in any of their minds. They saw the plagues that he brought on Egypt. You know, they had been enslaved there for years and years. And they knew what it was going to take for them to be set free. And they knew it was well beyond any abilities they had or anything they could make happen for themselves. It took an Elohim to free them. So knowing all of that and all that they had witnessed, what happened? Well, after they were freed from Egypt and they went out into the wilderness, life started to become routine for them. You know, as the days wore on, they just fell into a pattern. And they were idle, right? They didn't have anything to do. They were out there in the wilderness. They weren't being forced to work and do the same things that they had done while they were in Egypt. So Yahweh moved to the top of the mountain, and he called Moshe up to join him. And while Moshe was gone, the people became restless. You know, there was no more excitement. They were just there. They were just camped there at the mountain. And just having the word they had been given up to that point was not enough for them. So they began to stray and to seek after other mighty ones. When people adapt to a way of life and to their environment and they fall into the same patterns in a routine day after day, they become bored and they start to seek some excitement in their lives. And the problem with the children of Israel at this point was they were not in love with Yahweh. They did not love his word, and they did not love his ways, and they had no real relationship established with him yet. So they began to look elsewhere. You know, Moshe was gone. He was out of sight. And they began to stray. And any love they may have had, any love that was starting to build within them, grew cold while Moshe was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And there's something interesting about that. Because how long was Yeshua tested and tried in the wilderness? It was 40 days and nights, wasn't it? 40 is the number of testing. And so it's easy to see that what was going on here was, as Yahweh was talking to Moshe and giving him the commands and the tablets to bring down, he was also trying and testing the children of Israel. And they failed. And he tries and tests us too. Now, are we going to become bored with his word? And is keeping the Shabbat and the appointed times and obeying his commands going to become routine to the point where we become bored and start looking elsewhere? I think that's exactly what happens to some people. And they began to look at external sources and for other places of information outside of Yah's word. Aharon failed to hold the people back because he was a physical man and his flesh was weak. He gave in and gave the people what they wanted. He tried to keep them happy. And he allowed them to do what they wanted to do to keep them together as a people. His answer to keeping them together and maintaining a sort of control over them was to give them what they wanted. And he saw himself as the leader in Moshe's absence. You know, is that what we see religious leaders doing now? Are they giving the people what they want so they can keep them together and maintain a sort of control over them? They soften up Yah's word, they soften his commands and allow people to do what they want so that they won't stray and go somewhere else. Is that being loving, or is it a sign that their love has grown cold? Well, who should we love more? Aharon's failure points to the reality that we need a spiritual high priest and not one of flesh. Yeshua does not give in, and he does not allow us to do what we want if we want to be a part of his body. And it's not enough just to believe. We have to put our words into action, and we have to live the life we are called to live, to be set apart, and to obey the commands. Is there a structure in the body of Messiah? What is it for? What is the point? What is the purpose? Why does Yah call and appoint people to different places within the body? Could it be that it is an act of love? What happened to Israel when they were left to follow their own way? They strayed. They became restless. And they rose up and made up their own mighty one to follow and to worship and to call on. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some as emissaries, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the set apart ones, to the work of service, to a building up of the body of the Messiah, until we all come to the unity of the belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the completeness of Messiah, so that we should no longer be children, tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men, in cleverness unto the craftiness of leading astray, but maintaining the truth in love, we grow up in all respects into Him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the entire body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Structure in the body of Messiah is to build the body up in love. It is to protect, to watch over, to guide, to instruct, to grow, to be transformative, and to bring unity. Yeshua gave the sent out ones power and authority. He gave them a responsibility, and He told them they would go on to do greater things than He did. What did He mean by that? How could anyone do greater things than He did? Well, they had the job of beginning to build the body. They took the good news out to the people and met them where they were. Why were they so willing to take on that job, knowing what they were going to face? Because they loved Yeshua. They loved the word of Yahweh, and they were surrendered to His will. Shaul called himself a bondservant. That is love. Are we bondservants? Do we belong to our Abba? Is His will our will? Have we given up seeking our own way and given ourselves completely up to Him to do with us as He wills and as it pleases Him? Love is selfless, and love is putting others ahead of yourself. It's a complete giving of yourself and a giving up of yourself. No, the love of the sent out ones did not grow cold. It continued to grow hotter and deeper. And most of them gave up their lives for doing what they were called out to do. How many of us are prepared to do that? Does our love run that deep? Can our love run that deep? Or do we hold back? Do we not give of ourselves completely to our Abba? Do you give up your life for someone and for something if you have no love for what you are doing? How much love did our Messiah have for us? He gave Himself up for people who were not even alive yet, for people who would not be born for hundreds and thousands of years after He walked this earth. And it is He that gives us a test of our love. John 14, and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you shall guard my commands. Notice it's conditional. If you love me, this is what you should do. You shall guard my commands. And when we obey, we are showing our love. But that's only a part. Obedience is voluntary. It's not forced. And it never can be. And if we do something out of obligation, that's not obedience. It's forced compliance. It is not enough to say it, and it is not enough to think it. We must put our love into practice and into action. Yeshua puts the test and the question before us. Do you love me? And we have to think about that. And what it really means to say those words. Remember what Shimon Kepha said, Simon Peter? Oh, Master, I will never leave you. I will never deny you. I will never stumble. But what happened? He did deny him, didn't he? Deny that he even knew him. After Yeshua was resurrected and he appeared to the taught ones, he asked Kepha point blank, "Do you love me?" And it cut Kepha deeply. It hurt, and he was wounded by Yeshua's words because he did truly love Yeshua. It wasn't something he was just making up, something he pretended. He genuinely and sincerely loved Yeshua. But Yeshua was about to give him a great responsibility, and he had to know if Kepha would do as he asked and how much Kepha really loved him. Let's turn to 1 John 5 and verse 1. First John 5 and verse 1. Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim. And everyone who loves the one bringing forth also loves the one having been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Elohim and guard his commands. For this is the love for Elohim, that we guard his commands. And his commands are not heavy, because everyone having been born of Elohim overcomes the world. And this is the overcoming that has overcome the world, our belief. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? There's so much promise in that. If you truly love someone and they ask you to do something, then you would do everything in your power to do as they ask, wouldn't you? If you truly love. You know, we cannot judge anyone's heart. That is between them in Elohim, but we can judge actions. And we can judge the fruit we see. If we see people who are not doing what Yahweh asks his people to do, then that is pretty evident, isn't it? As love grows cold, the desire to please and do the things that he asks us to do fades because it becomes unimportant. And our own self-determination and self-will begins to take over again. You know, surrendering to him is an ongoing challenge. And sometimes we have to surrender moment by moment. There's always the temptation to do what we want to do, to follow our own way. And he's not going to stop us because we have to be his by choice. That's why Yeshua put that test there. If you love me, keep my commands. Because I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to force you. But if you say that you love me, if you truly love me, then this is what you will do. As our love grows cold, it becomes easier and easier to stray and go outside the boundaries that Yahweh sets for his people. And we know what those boundaries are. He defines it all for us in his Torah. And we see many people straying and doing what they think is right in their own eyes. They reject any form of authority and don't want to submit themselves to sound teaching. They chase after strange doctrines, and they are constantly searching for something new to tickle their ears. They build up teachers for themselves who tell them what they want to hear. Sounds a little bit like the golden calf incident in the wilderness, doesn't it? Maybe Yah's word is just not enough anymore. Even those who are living set apart to Yahweh and love his word must be careful. There is always the danger of growing lax and getting complacent. Falling into a routine, falling into a pattern. That is one of the reasons that it is so important for his people to assemble and stir one another up. We need the edification. We need the encouragement. We need to be lifted up. You know, we need to fan the flames and keep our love for him burning bright and hot. Revelation 2 and verse 1. Revelation 2 and verse 1. To the messenger of the assembly of Ephesus write, he who is holding the seven stars in his right hand, who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your works, and your labor, and your endurance, and that you are not able to bear evil ones, and have tried those who say they are emissaries and are not, and have found them false. And you have been bearing up and have endurance, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. But I hold this against you, that you have left your first love. So remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I shall come to you speedily and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. We need to ask ourselves, have we left our first love? Is our love growing cold? Are we beginning to stray? Are we becoming bored? Are we looking for other things? If we have, how do we get back to that place? We have to be on guard against letting our love grow cold. We have to love Yahweh's commands, and we have to cling to Him. Cling to Him with all of our strength and with all that is in us, and never let go. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I have called the heavens and the earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore you shall choose life, so that you live, both you and your seed. To love Yahweh your Elohim, to obey His voice, and to cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, to dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, to give them. If we leave Him, we are leaving our covering and our protection. Loving our Elohim is choosing life. If love grows cold, then what are we choosing? What is the other alternative to life? We live in a world and in a society whose love has grown cold. All you have to do is go down anywhere where there's a number of people and observe. And it doesn't take very long to see just how cold people's love has become. People only have love for themselves, and they have lost their way. And that sets up the exact scenario that Yeshua warns us about in the Olivet prophecy. Matthew 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24 and verse 10. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. A world without love is a lawless world, and a people without love for their Elohim are a lawless people. It's going to get a lot worse. And we have to cling to our Elohim. I encourage you to keep your love for Elohim and His word strong. Don't let the fire go out, and remember your first love. Remember that feeling of discovering His truth for the first time and what that felt like. That doesn't have to end. How can anyone become bored with his word. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and there is more there to glean. There are deep things and mysteries in the word of Yahweh. And as we study and give ourselves up to him more and more, he reveals deeper and deeper things. We don't have to go anywhere else to search for those. They are all contained in his word. More than enough to keep us occupied for a lifetime. I still get that feeling of excitement and love for him when he shows me something in his word and more pieces of the puzzle come together. It's amazing to see all of these situations and events that are recorded for us in his word and the threads that run throughout his word and tie everything together and show us more and more of his plan and what he is doing. He is an incredible, awesome Elohim, more than our minds can even conceive of or imagine. His word is incredible and reveals so much to us as he opens our minds and allows us to understand. Don't let your love grow cold. We love him because he loved us first.
Yivarekka Yahweh. Vayishmereka. Ya'er Yahweh panav eleka vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panav eleka v'yashem laha shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.